Thank you. All the recordings are started. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Principles Subteam meeting on the 20th of February, 2014. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Jonathan Frost, Nick Steinbach, Tom Barrett, Incirca, I apologize if I mispronounced your name. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Glenn D. St. Geary, Natalie Perrigan, and Terry Agnew. I will now turn it over to your host, Cheryl Langdon Orr. Please begin.
Thank you very much, Terry. And welcome, as in case people don't recognize your voice yet, the newest recruit is how you're described to me in the GNSO Secretariat. So welcome, and we will be gentle with you as you get your L plates on running these calls. And doing a small sub-team like this is probably an excellent thing to cut your teeth on, so I'd encourage you to do a few more of these as well. And just to relieve you, Tom Barrett's name is just Tom Barrett. The dash in Circa is indicating the company that he's engaged with us. So fear not on the bizarre names. Mine's about as bizarre as you're going to get in most of these calls. My name is Cheryl Langdon Orr, and welcome one and all. While I hold the fort here today until Chuck, who may arrive, perhaps does arrive. But we've got a fairly important piece of work to complete off today. We have made an indication at our last meeting that we did want to further discuss where we left off, which was under the item marked as ICANN staff limitations, which Marika has on your screen. And Marika, there's a very minor change there that if you just mention to everybody the little bits of grammar that were done.
Yeah, this is Marika. Basically, I just included the suggestions that Chuck sent to the list last week, one of which was to finally added the footnote that you see on the screen now. So it now reads, some possible examples include but are not limited to if new obligations are imposed on parties, substantive changes to burdens such as related privacy, accessibility, rights protections, costs, risks, etc. And there was one other minor change. I think I removed the two where there was already two, four, and I don't exactly remember where that is, but it was just, I think, something we overlooked.
Yeah, Marika, thank you for that. That's Cheryl Langdon Orr again. And that second one you mentioned is not a substantive change. It's what I would describe a simple toilet. So I think we can all agree on that. But what I would ask for the sub-team now is, are you happy and in agreement with Chuck's proposed edits that Marika's put into the footnote? You object, stick up a great big red X and I'll come to you. If you agree, feel free to put up a little green tick. And if you want to speak, Nick, I'm seeing a microphone and a tick. Nick, you can talk as well as tick if you like. Nice to you.
I don't have much to say. It looks good to me.
Okie dokie, great. Just when I saw the microphone flash up, I thought you were desperate to get our attention. All right, well, that one's pretty simple. However, we did indicate that apart from accepting Chuck's proposed changes there, that we did want to have some further discussion at this meeting. So if we can spend just a small amount of time on this, I'd like to open the floor for any further discussion on this section, which is in Section A, which currently reads, If substantive policy implications are identified during implementation, the GNSO Council should be notified and involved in the process of resolving the issues, brackets, S, and it should not be left to implementers to resolve by themselves. Clearly, I need more coffee. I might ask Marika to read in future. But that's where we discussed we wanted to have further discussion and deliberation. So let's open the floor up on that, and I'll try and get my speaking and reading in some sort of synchrony in future. Floor's open. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika, and I think I raised the point during the last meeting as well, and I'm a little bit confused by the term implementers. And I know I think it's something that Tom suggests, and I think I tried to explain it. I think in the current environment, it's staff who implement. So implementers here seems to suggest that there are other parties that will be implementing. Well, you know, that I think that's currently as it stands, that's within staff's remit to implement a policy. And you know, what I think the working group is tasked to do is indeed look at are additional mechanisms that need to be put in place to ensure that staff is able to consult with the community if and when needed, or what kind of procedures need to be in place to indeed assess whether there are policy implications or not. So the term implementers to me doesn't really seem to fit what is the current practice, and I think the principles are underpinning to a certain extent, I think, as well what what currently exists and how things work. And I think similar to the working definitions, obviously if the outcome of this process would be that there would be other implementers that would join staff in implementing policy, I guess this can be updated. But for now, I wonder if that should just be changed back to staff.
Okay. Thanks for that, Marika. And, of course, we do note that it is under the superheading of ICANN staff limitations. So your fear of some preemption may be settled a little bit there, I think. Tom, did you want to write to reply on that before I go to Alan and then Jonathan?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
Okay. The reason I thought implementers was more appropriate is because we've seen a lot of innovation come from FADI in terms of setting up different advisory groups. And I don't think we can assume that the people doing the implementation will be employees of ICANN. And so I wanted to make it clear that whoever was doing the implementation, whoever they designated as responsible for that task, had to involve the GNSL, and it was not just limited to W-2 employees or people getting a paycheck directly from ICANN.
Cheryl here again. Thanks for that, Tom. So you're not trying to be preemptive at all. You're trying to be future-proofing in what we're putting together. I'm going to go to Alan, and then I noticed Jonathan did put his hand down, but I'll ask if he wants to speak at all. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you. I guess first a clarification. Last time I checked, although it may have changed, I doubt it, ICANN has a vast number of people that we treat as staff who are not technically employees but are contract people. So, and in general, we do not differentiate between whether they're an employee or some other type of financial arrangement. Normally, I would tend to say, let's just put staff there and not worry about it. It's a little bit disconcerting, however, because if you look at all of the reconsideration requests and things, ICANN has recently treated things that they subcontract under a variety of terms to be not ICANN. And therefore, reconsideration requests don't count because these aren't ICANN employees. This wasn't ICANN that made the decision. It was someone else. So I'm a little bit sympathetic to it, but implementers, I think, adds too much confusion, and I would tend to put staff and perhaps a parenthetical or a footnote adding, or to whoever ICANN delegates this implementation responsibility.
Thanks for that, Alan. I see a plus one from Jonathan in the chat, Tom's earlier statements and rationale, but I'm now going to go back to Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I like Alan's suggestion that we say, or whoever ICANN has delegated this to. And I also wonder if it would be appropriate for us to define ICANN staff. Because, again, as you point out, we may think that anyone they subcontract is part of staff, but they have their own definition of that. and which may not be consistent.
Okay, Tom, can I split that in two so we can sort of deal with what you've said in a couple of parcels?
Yeah.
The first one is you're agreeing now to use the term in the sentence under A, staff, and have that then as a parenthetical, or to have the footnote, because Alan actually suggested alternatives. Were you happy with that?
I think it should be right up in the text.
Okay.
I don't think this is something you footnote.
Thank you. Okay, so you're happy to almost take this as a friendly amendment, for want of a better set of terms, if we have it as a parenthetical in the body of the text. Terrific. Okay, so, Alan, if you would like to repeat some of your words of wisdom so that Marika could attempt to capture them in replacement of the word implementers, so that's now going to be replaced left to staff. Remembering this is under the heading ICANN staff limitations, but Alan, if you could give us some words now that would work for your parenthetical, and we'll see if we're happy with that. And then we'll come back to this question of how we identify staff.
I can't, or I don't think the second two is necessary. And in my grammar, I would use whoever, but maybe whomever is technically better. ICANN has delegated the implement task to.
Right. Although the next
to whoever, because otherwise we'll have two twos in a row.
Right.
Sorry, I'm giggling here. I
would tend to put it in parentheses from or until dedicated this task, because then it makes it the parsing the sentence easier, because you can omit the parentheses. And to see what it's saying in a clearer way.
Yeah, thanks for that, Alan. It's Cheryl again, and we did actually refer to it as a parenthetical, so I think that's important. Tom, I'm going to ask you now, as your hand is still up, how does that read to you? And then I want to come back to the second part of your earlier comment.
Yeah, I think that reads well.
Okay. Do you believe with this then, Tom, that we need to actually make an attempt to somehow identify a definition, and it could only be a working definition, of staff then, if that is as it is read there? And I must say, personally, I'm a little fearful of trying to make definitions too early in these processes, because terms like delegate or delegated authority might actually give us more wriggle room than something in the future. So with that said, how do you feel about your request to define?
Well, I do think it's worth defining, since there's been a difference in what it means.
Okay. Do you believe then, and this is an open question to you all, that we should try and define, or should we now request, which I can only suggest, if it's difficult to hear, my bird chorus will stop shortly, I do apologise, but it is lovely morning here and they're happy, that we should ask the definition sub-team to very quickly pick up that piece of work.
Well, is this the only sentence we have that refers to ICANN staff?
Other than, of course, the headings, etc. I think there are other ones in comments, but those comments may be removed as we finish this section.
Well, I had another comment here, which is, why are we only talking about staff and not talking about limitations of the board?
Okay. Alan, were you in response to that, or did Marika's hand go up first?
It's in response to all of that. If we need to define ICANN staff, and I personally do not feel we do, then that would remove the parenthetical, and the staff would be the more wide-ranging place we define it. With respect to the last question, I don't think it's within our remit to define what the limits of the board are, nor do I think we know what the limits of the board are. And so I, at this stage in definitions, I think we need to stay away from that, with or not definitions in principles, because I think that's something that would need debate or discussion if we wanted to make put a stake in the ground and say the board under no conditions may come up with anything which resembles policy. I'm not sure we're on solid ground saying that.
Thank you, Alan. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. My comment relates to defining ICANN staff, because I think that's actually something that probably ICANN should do itself, because they're the ones hiring people, and I think it's probably for our HR department to define who they consider staff and who they don't consider staff. So I'm not really sure if that's appropriate for a community group to try and decide what the definition of ICANN staff should be. So I have some concerns about that.
Thanks, Marika. Nick?
Yeah, I just think that there is at least part of this whole kind of ICANN staff issue might be caused by the headings that I put together, and I just want to make it clear that the headings are kind of put together out of convenience more than anything, just to make it clear for these kind of discussions. If it helps to kind of alleviate some of these concerns, to drop this into something, into the implementation section or into the policy section. That's certainly somewhere where we can go to. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to have ICANN staff separated, I think, in the long run. It was just kind of done so that we could kind of easily frame these discussions. But as far as, maybe getting back, it might make sense to just roll these two into the policy and implementation sections.
Thanks for that, Nick. And I see I haven't taken my agreement down, and I do still agree with that, but I am taking it down now because I want to move on to – I'm still seeing Alan, Nick, and Tom's hand up. Is that just a delay in my Adobe Connect or
– this is Tom. I do have a suggestion.
A delay in my brain.
Okay. Your hand is a new one, Tom. Go ahead then.
So I'm wondering if we could replace ICANN staff involvement and ICANN staff limitations with implementations team involvement and implementation team limitations. And is that an equivalent substitution?
This is Cheryl, and I'm umming because I think that might cause some more issues than it solves, although I am supportive of what Nick suggested in terms of rolling these two sections back up into something that just sits under the higher order ones, the principles as they relate to implementation. But having said that, I think we could in fact even use just a smaller heading such as limitations within implementation processes or something that we can come up with rather than label it as a team. That's just my personal view. I've got Marika and then I've got Greg. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I share your concerns in labeling that implementation team because it's a term we currently don't have. And as I said before, I think, like with the working definitions, these are our working principles. So presumably, if indeed at the end of the day what comes out of this is a decision that there should be an implementation team that consists out of X, Y, and Z, then these principles need to be updated. But I think, in the current world we live in and the current reality is still that ICANN staff is tasked to implement the policy by the ICANN board, after adoption. So, and as well, the first principle on the ICANN staff involvement really talks about this policy staff role and not so much about the implementation. So I think it would be more comfortable as well in actually rolling this into, the broader category and maybe taking out the headings if that creates confusion or discomfort with people, because I think the principles themselves explain pretty well, I think, what it's about, and I'm not really sure, indeed, if it needs to, be headed by limitations or involvement, because I think the principle itself speaks for itself, as I think Nick suggested.
Thanks very much for that, and I see a big tick from Nick in the Joe space. To you, Greg.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. Sorry for missing the first few minutes. in looking at what we've got up on the screen now, it occurs to me that the heading, what's under ICANN staff involvement, it relates to the working group part of the process, and what's under ICANN staff limitations so far, it relates to the implementation part of the process. So maybe what we're really talking about here is something like, ICANN staff involvement in working groups and ICANN staff involvement in implementation.
Thank you, Greg. Cheryl, again, for the record, and I think you're getting very close to picking up on some finesse on what Nick suggested and what I think most of us are agreeing with, and that is the principle of rolling, removing this section, which is labelled currently in our document ICANN staff limitations, removing that title totally, and having put it up into the appropriate sections. So we've got where we're talking about principles relating to ICANN staff, and that's the section that we may be making disappear. And if we take, as you then suggested, Greg, those principles that are existing under Section 1 and where they clearly involve and relate to the policy part, we simply put that as a new part to the existing section in policy, and we do the same for what's currently listed as ICANN staff limitations, but within implementation we already have a heading called limitation of implementation. And so it would be quite reasonable to make this reference to staff as a Section C in that. So that would give us under limitation of implementation. It would now read A, there should be a mechanism to flag and address unanticipated outcomes of implementation decisions that may significantly impact the community. B, there should be a mechanism to flag and address situations where there may be a deviation between the implementation and the policy as it was originally intended. And then there will be a new C, which will be our agreed text, which starts off, if substantive policy implementations are identified during implementation, the GNSO Council should be notified, and continues as Marika had on your screen. Are you all happy with that?
I am. This is Nick.
Yep. Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that looks good, and I think, for that other one, the one that's currently titled ICANN Staff Involvement in Policy Development, I believe that there's a section called, in the policy, there's a subheading called Policy Standards, where that one would fit nicely at the end in a very similar fashion.
Perfectly identified. Yep. All right. If we can all agree to that, if anyone disagrees, then let me know, or let us know in the chat if there's a bit of delay or lag. Otherwise, Marika, yeah, I hope you're going to make that so. Yes, Marika, over to you.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to confirm, Nick, is this the section what you were referring to? I've moved the policy staff section to the D part of the policy standards and the proposed principles relating to policy. Was that the part you were referring to?
I think it could be in either the standards or the community, whatever the group decides. I think it's could be either. I think that works, but we could definitely drop it into the community, I guess, is a relevant subheading as well.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Cheryl here again. Let's poll that then. If we've got two choices, we need to decide on one. I'm certainly happy with it where it is, but there's an option to put it to under the community section. Is there anyone who, I'm going to be very specific, is there anyone who wishes to move the new Section D, as you see it on your screen now, to a new section under the following policy and community part of the document? If so, indicate that you want that to happen. Not hearing from anyone, and I'm not seeing anyone waving at me. So EyeSight stays where it is then. Thank you very much, Nick, team, and Marika. If memory serves, I think that means from our last meeting, all we need to deal with before we get on to the much more exciting part, in my view, which is the getting the discussion going on how the document will be formatted, we just need to look at text that is currently listed under C, Explanatory Notes to Principles. We do have a couple of notes that have come in to this, and just see if we agree that explanatory notes are needed, that this text is appropriate, and what needs to be changed, if anything, in it. Marika, over to you.
And sorry, this is Marika. I was actually just reading my own notes. So you basically want me to talk about the note that's in here?
Yes, please. On my screen, I can't possibly read it.
Yeah, I'm rereading the note, and I think it's probably made in relation to, I think, a previous principle we had, because I don't think it was, because I think the explanatory notes were added later.
Right.
And I'm just trying to, because I think that the language that is there actually comes from the discussion paper we developed. So I'm just trying to, I can may continue to refine the implementation of the requirement over time as more experience is gained without having to go back to a requirement defined in the policy as recommended, so long as public comment is solicited with regard to those proposed implementation refinements. The community can assess the success of the implementation against the requirements. And then Chuck and Avery noted that this is not enough to simply solicit public comment and then leave it to staff to analyze and implement. I think this probably actually goes already to what we'll be discussing as part of the working group deliberations, where we'll talk about what should be the process as part of implementation, whereby indeed either staff consults or through the implementation review team there's a consultation, what needs to happen. So I'm not really sure if this is actually an explanatory note or just a comment that was taken from previous discussion and that has ended up here, because I'm not really sure where the linkage is at the moment.
Thanks, Marika, and I was certainly going to move to have it removed, or if not, incredibly sanitised if it was going to stay. But I see Alan. Go ahead, Alan.
I vote for the removed. On a couple of reasons. The previous paragraph we just honed and refined says staff supports the working group. Staff does not direct the working group. Staff may produce a summary of public comments, but it is the working group's responsibility to analyze the comments, not the summary, but to analyze the comments. If that's not clear in the working group guidelines and in the PDP rules, then it needs to be clarified, although I think we did a moderately good job. And I'm presuming that any follow-on process that may be developed in addition to the formal capitalized PDP will also include input from the community, since we can never presume that all the relevant members are on any given working group at any time. So I don't think we need this at all.
Thank you, Alan. My personal opinion, and Cheryl here, is that I would agree with that. I'm still smiling at Marika's comment in the chat, but over to you, Marika.
Thanks, Cheryl. So, this is Marika. I completely agree with removing it, but just as well to note that I think the two lines don't even match, because I think, indeed, the first comment, as Alan suggests, relates to, the role of public comments in the policy development process, which we indeed talk about. It's, staff may provide a summary that goes actually to the working group for the actual analysis, where actually I think my note or my comment relates to what may be a potential or what is currently done as part of implementation when staff is of the view that there may be implications that need to be checked with the community, whether either it's a change from the original intent or guidance given, or whether we're moving into the policy direction where staff normally conducts a public comment and gets input from the community. So I think there's, in any case, a mismatch between, I think, the one and the actual note. So I completely agree with just taking it out here, because I don't think it has any, it doesn't do any explanation of what is actually in the principles.
I think it's more clouding, Cheryl here, clouding than explanatory. Tom, I saw your hand up first, and then I think Alan has his hand re-raised.
So it's all about a general question, which is the comment I think Alan made about, you know, the assumption that the working group will assess the public comments. And I'm wondering if in practice that is the normal operating procedure for public comment periods, or in fact, is it mostly ICANN staff assessing the public comments and not a working group? And do we need a principle here to suggest that we want working groups to do this work?
Thanks for that, Tom. I saw both Marika and Alan waving frantically to get attention. I did recognize Alan earlier, and I know he and I have certainly gone, as many of you have, through a number of these processes in working groups. So, Alan, would you like to make your comment and pick up in a response to Tom?
I certainly will, although I lowered my hand by mistake, which is why I changed the order. Number one, recent work PDP working groups do take the review of public comments as a religious duty.
Yes.
Now, I do admit that on occasion some of the members do not go back and read the original comments but only read the summary, but there are always some who do read the comments. And yes, I think we do it religiously, in the best sense of that word. Now, there are many public comments which are not issued by GNSO working groups, and how well those are analyzed is subject to a different, might be a completely different interpretation. And I will note that there were some things in the ATRT2 relevant to this. But I raised my hand for another issue, but Cheryl, I won't raise it now, but if you can come back to me.
I'm happy to come back to you. Thank you, Alan. In which case, I believe it's Marika and then Greg in that order, please. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika, and as I also pointed out in the chat, it's actually something that's specifically mentioned in the PDP manuals as one of the requirements for PDP working groups, that they are responsible for analyzing and responding to the comments. And you know, as Alan said, that's religiously done. The only thing that staff does is provide a summary that's actually posted in you know, on the website, so that there is something there that provides a summary, but in a very clearly remark as well, because there's normally a summary part and an analysis part, and there we very clearly say that, you know, staff is not analyzing these comments, as that is the obligation and role of the working group to do so. And to facilitate working groups doing that, what we typically do is just really copy and paste, you know, full sections of the comments in a Word document, and the working group then goes through those one by one, you know, and staff assist by actually taking the notes, you know, of the working group discussions and any decisions that the working group takes based on the comments received and the analysis of that. And that's actually something that's as well then attached or linked to the final report, so that anyone can actually go in there and see what the working group did with their comments, how they were reviewed, you know, what changes were made based on that, or why the working group decided that, you know, no changes were needed. So I think that's something that's, you know, as I said, religiously followed, and there's definitely, at least since I've been on staff since 2008, I don't think there's been any instance where staff actually provided the analysis and told working groups, this is what you should be doing based on the comments. So, you know, if people still think there needs to be a specific principle, that's fine. But as I said, it's specifically called out in the PDP manual as being one of the requirements of a PDP working group to analyze, review, and respond to comments received.
Thanks, Marika. Cheryl again, and as a card-carrying devotee of that particular religion, I can assure you it sure does happen. I'd also just pick up on something Alan said before I go to you, Greg, and that is the question on what happens in some other spaces, very much based on these excellent practices that are discussed now, and I personally don't think need a principle, because it is, as Marika said, enshrined and also in the PDP manual. I have seen the CCNSO act in a similar way, even with their study group, which is not a PDP process, simply study group and public comments on those things. And of course, one or two of the times when ALAC has called for public comments, a similar process has gone on. So you've led by example already, GNSO, and some others, at least in the ICANN community, are following. To you, Greg.
Thank you, Cheryl. Greg Shatton. I was just going to say amen to you and Alan, having served on a few working groups
and actually probably having done more in working groups than any other kind of aspect of ICANN, I would say that it is, you know, a religion, it's probably a religion that that I observe far more than any actual one in which I am, you know, born or card carrying. So.
Thank you, Greg. Cheryl giggling for the record. I think we're all pretty strongly answering your question, Tom. Well, that gets a hell yes from me. Back to you, Alan.
Thank you. I guess for both clarity and to make it clear, when I started in ICANN, there were not as many public comment periods, but there were public comment periods, and people did respond to them. And I believe my perception was that people would issue a public comment, it would close, and they would say, good, now let's issue our report. And I think that was a pretty accurate description of the process. So the perception that public comments were something that we did for show, but no one actually ever read them, I think has some significant basis in fact. And although now that they are now they are nominally summarized, I suspect there are cases when they are still treated in a similar manner, not in the GNSO or the CCNSO or the ALAC, but nevertheless. But there is some background to it, and that may be the reason that we follow the religion so much now, is because of the history. However, I raised my hand due to something else. When Marika was talking earlier, and she made reference to what I think she said was probably the origin of this comment, and that is the concept of public comments during implementation. Not in the PDP process, but do we need comments during the implementation? Do we need to solicit input during the implementation to get a feel from the community that things are going okay? And that's a really intriguing question. If you look at what we've written so far, we've said that if there is a smell of policy during implementation, we have to revert back to the GNSO and go through some sort of policy bottom-up process. And you've heard from me before some level of fear that this is something that's probably not practical on the global sense. That is, we stop things and go to a policy process, send it to a group that only meets once a month, and you know that's just loaded with problems. And I think the concept of using a public comment vehicle, whether it's the formal PC for ICANN or a subset of it, or you know a somewhat less prominent one, we can debate. But that may be one of the halfway points that we make to not have implementation shut down completely. And I don't know whether it fits as a principle or something similar, simply to raise when we go on to the next step of deciding how do we use these principles, are they implementable, and how do we build processes that adhere to the principles in our overall task. So I'm not sure if this warrants a principle here or simply a note to remember it, and I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl again for the record, and I think what was done in this discourse, and I am going to go to you, Tom, and then to you, Marika, although I did see Nick's hand briefed up as well. Just on that, I think we've all agreed that the text certainly, let's assume all the text under one is to be deleted as an explanatory note to principles. However, Alan has just raised a possible use for the first sentence, which is currently reading, what is the role of public comments and their analysis and response to them in the policy development process, as a point of discussion for the working group as a whole. So we may wish to list some notes, but not explanatory notes in this document. So, Marika, whilst I think we've all agreed to ditch all of this text, you might want to just say that first sentence, because I think it might perhaps end up back in a different category.
Cheryl, it's Alan. I think we need to say the policy development process, including all aspects of implementation, because to some people, perhaps validly, perhaps not, the policy development process, especially the capitalized one, and I actually that probably should be lowercase policy development processes. Certainly the PDP ends at the time the GNSO tosses it over the wall to the board.
Sure. Now, Marika's making those changes on the fly here, so that's great. And that'll be the sentence she says. She'll just go to the lowercase now. Thanks for that, Alan. Tom, and then Marika.
So I just have two, I guess, observations. One is that the people contributing public comments are not always aware of how ICANN works and how PDPs work, and so everything's one big black hole to them. They don't even know what a working group is. And second of all, I do think ICANN, in many cases, solicits public comments for which there is no working group, at least an active one, and it's still not clear how those comments are assessed and feedback provided to the folks who provided the comment.
Yes. Thanks, Tom. For your second point, Cheryl, here, I can give you chapter and verse on that being a high and very important issue raised on the first Accountability and Transparency Review team. And I know Alan has already mentioned it still was raising its ugly head in the second. However, our work is to get this principal sub-team documentation finished, not solve the total problems of ICANN. So let's get back on task. Marika.
This is Marika. Basically, inspired by what Alan was talking about, the role of public comment attention in implementation. And I partially think, it definitely will be an important conversation, but I'm hoping it will be facilitated to a great extent by the current structure of implementation review teams. Because I think especially every time we throw out examples, we seem to be referring to, what happened in the implementation of the new GTLD recommendations, where indeed we didn't have that concept yet. As well, a very specific situation where a lot of the principles were very high level, not a lot of detail. But if you look at the actual implementation of some of the recent policy recommendations and see the interaction there between your staff and the implementation review team, I think we're going towards a much more kind of defined process. And again, still I think some of that needs to be built by this working group, but where you may see that, indeed staff takes on the policy recommendations once they're adopted by the board, it goes away, digests them, comes back with any specific questions they may have or clarification to the implementation review team. Based on that, they write a proposed implementation, goes back to the implementation review team to see does this meet the intention of the policy recommendations, or were any issues raised that weren't covered that may smell of policy, and then the implementation review team could serve as a kind of flag of saying, okay, we actually think that at this stage we may need to have a public comment forum on this specific issue, or we need to go and check back with the GNSO Council because we believe that we're going way beyond what we actually said. And in any case, what already happens in practice is any implementation plan is put out for public comment to get broader community input on what we're proposing and how that meets the policy recommendations. So I'm actually hoping once we get to the substance of that discussion, we will have some expertise based on what is currently happening and how we can build around that a framework that will be predictable and transparent on how we deal with implementation related conversations and when is, for example, public comment triggered. So again, I think just in the short of that, I think indeed it is an aspect that will come back in the working group conversations, but hopefully will be more straightforward than I think some of the notes that were included in relation to this point so far.
Thanks, Marika, and I'd ask you to hold some of that thought for when we possibly come back to that sentence, because you might want to make a second sentence based on some of what you've said. Alan, go ahead.
I think she should try to put it all into one sentence. sorry. No, Marika is right, of course, that the implementation review teams may well be the vehicle that are used. But I do think capturing it here to remind us that we do have that vehicle without necessarily going through a more formal process to decide on the outcome. In other words, this introduces the concept of staff proposing a solution to a possible policy issue and testing the water on it. And so I think that's moving in a good direction, one that will not necessarily bog us down. But before I relinquish the mic, I'll just remind Marika that I really think this should be lowercase policy development processes, and you can eliminate the leading the at that point also.
Thank you for that, and I know Marika's busy making those changes. Okay, if I can just assume that we're all in violent agreement on these points, and that we have indeed agreed to, under the heading Explanatory Notes to Principles, remove everything under one. Can I move you on to two and see if this has any merit in staying? Number two currently reads, and remember it's supposed to be an explanatory note to principles, in relation to emergencies that justify not utilising the bottom-up process, these should be the exception rather than the rule based on comment by Avery in an earlier version. I think this one can go as well, but that might just be me. I saw Alan, and I think Nick beat Marika, but you two can fight over it once Alan finishes with his commentary. Go ahead, Alan.
I actually forgot to lower my hand, so I didn't raise it this time. I didn't beat Marika, but I will make a comment since you gave me the mic.
The sentence right now,
especially when you take out the parenthetic, which doesn't belong in the formal document, is a little bit too cryptic.
Yeah, I
think what it's saying is it's a cynical statement saying it's fine to have an exception rule, but everything shouldn't become an emergency. And it's a fine statement to make, but I think it needs to be less cryptic. Thank you. I'll lower my hand. It's for real.
Thank you. And now I know how you keep on top of the list by leaving your hand.
No. Normally I do not do that.
Okay. Who was first, Marika or Nick? Was it Nick? Go ahead, Nick, anyway.
this whole section is really confusing to me. I'm not sure what it is actually explaining or if it's in a final version necessary. I think that if we're going to go with any of the principles or kind of add-ons, I think that the questions that we're coming to that we think we should raise to the whole group should go in a totally separate document, and I think that anything in here that is a principle should get bumped up to the appropriate section. I'm not really sure if there's, you know, what the value is here. I don't really feel like it's explaining anything to me.
Thanks, Nick. I don't think it's explaining anything at all either, and I'm certainly going to vote with you on that suggestion. Marika, to you.
This is Marika. I'm actually completely agreeing with what Nick was saying. I think as well, and looking ahead, you know, at point three and four, I think indeed these are just questions that have come up, and I guess we needed to put them somewhere, but indeed I don't really see how these are explanatory notes, because I think it's more questions that have come up, but as Nick said, I think it makes much more sense that if we still believe that these should be included, but for example, item three, that is really, you know, it's a charter question, so that will definitely come up. And I think similarly with one, I mean, for sure that will come up as well in relation to you know, the implementation review team discussion, or, you know, the process in relation to implementation-related discussion. So, you know, I think we can just basically get rid of all of this. And maybe similarly to what the definition sub-team did is, now, based on input that comes back from the working group, there may be a need indeed to create a separate table or separate document in which we capture those comments that, you know, are not really related to the principles, but actually already dive into the substance to reassure working group members that, you know, we didn't just ignore them, but we are at the same time, you know, cognizant that those are not really related to the working principles, but we still provide a way of tracking those like the definition sub-team did. And then if people come back with these kind of comments, I guess they could go in there, basically.
Thanks for that, Marika. And is there anyone game enough to disagree with what I think is soon to be a fairly strong majority view? If you are game enough to disagree with that, say so now.
And if not, we will now strike Section C, Explanatory Notes to Principles, from this document. But it appears we will be retaining some version of the Sentence 1 as it currently is modified on screen, and some very particular point which is currently and could even be left as simply what is the role of the Implementation Review Team. Would anyone like to save anything to do with number 2? Recognising that, as Nick suggested, if we feel it is required of us to say in principles that not everything should be made into an emergency to use the rule on emergencies, that could perhaps be, if not perhaps bumped up, to the principal section as body text, it could certainly be a footnote. How do you want to approach number 2? Alan, new hand, over to you.
New hand. With regard to what this section is, I would suggest for the moment just renaming it notes to pass back to the work group, you know, that we don't want to lose. We could do it on a separate piece of paper if you want, but not lose the concept. I personally think number 2 is the kind of thing that doesn't need to be said, because if and when it becomes a problem, there will be things said.
I agree.
And I don't think we need to have this as a preemptive strike. There are emergency rules that are currently in registry contracts saying if formal capital CP consensus policy needs to be enacted in an emergency, the board can do it without resorting to the GNSO. They have used that capability very few times.
I really don't think
it's an issue, but Avery isn't on this call and she would almost surely disagree with me. Thank you.
But that's okay, because Avery will be given every opportunity to raise these points when the Committee of the Whole discusses it, and that's what we're suggesting happens with the points now held under this notes section. Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, I wonder, this is Tom, I wonder if there are exceptions that are not emergencies. So, for example, just to pick a recent example, the proposal from the brand registry group to modify the contract for dot brands doesn't seem to be a bottom-up process, but certainly seems to be an exception to how we're handling potential policy changes. By letting a third party propose something, it goes out for public comment, and presumably someone's going to analyze the comments and decide how to move forward.
Thanks, Tom. Very valid point. I'm going back to you, Alan, but I suspect what we might be doing is creating a new 3 for our new section. Over to you, Alan.
I think the current IGO-INGO issue is a good poster child for things that may not be emergencies, but we need to address in the real world. The GNSO produced a policy which the board in its wisdom, and I'll note, side note, ALAC, felt was not a self-consistent set of things that the board could simply implement, especially factoring in GAC advice.
Yep.
And the board has now taken the recommendations from the GNSO and will consider them in the larger world and decide what to do with it. Not an emergency, but it's something which they're going to have to come to closure with, and very soon, because we have domains that are coming live. Not everything is an emergency that needs to be resolved. This particular statement was focusing on the emergency clause, which could give the board unilateral action, and some people fear would be used unreasonably. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl again. What I'm hearing from this part of our discussion is that in our notes to pass back to the work group for full committee discussion, we're keeping the matter of public comments, etc. We're keeping the matter of the role of the implementation review team, which will become a new 2, and we are suggesting, thank you very much, Tom, a new 3, which is an exploration of other exceptions. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Tom. Alan, is that a new hand, or are you just being tardy again?
Yes. She's a ladder.
Oh, tardy again. Oh, dear. All right. Okay, so seeing as we now don't have a Section 6, but we do have a standalone set of notes to go back to the working group, and unfortunately I've just dropped out of the Adobe Connect room, so Marika, if you can make sure if anyone's hands up, they get recognised, etc. Is everyone happy with what we've got in those 3 points? Do you want to push I don't think there's a validation to put in any sort of catch-all others. I think that would come out of the activities of the Committee of the Whole. But are we all satisfied that 3 important points have been captured? We can always add more later should we have the need or necessity to do so. And Marika,
yeah,
if everyone's agreeing, fine. If not, tell me otherwise.
Yeah, this is Marika. I actually know hands up, but I actually have a question, because now we currently have a 3 exploration of other exceptions. I'm wondering if we need a little bit of more explanatory language, or whether we need to leave, you know, every sentence and add then we need to, you know, exploration of other exceptions, because alone like this, it doesn't make much sense.
Sure. Marika, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, I thought we deleted 2 totally. So the other exceptions should principles be discussed and decided upon by the work group, would end up as principles relating to emergencies or near emergencies, but not as emergencies. So they're exceptions that are not emergencies. So I'm not sure linking those 2 things together is going to solve our problem there. Tom, is it possible for you in chat to perhaps put some words that you think does justice to what we want there? And then I want to ask you, Marika, while I've got the microphone, I actually have this call scheduled for 90 minutes, but is it a 60 or a 90-minute call?
This is Marika. I believe it's 90.
Thank you. At which point I'm going to suggest... if Tom and you can argue in chat about the final words, and everyone else can contribute as well, and hopefully I will get back into an Adobe Connect room, I wanted to see if we could spend the next part of the call from the top of the hour on, and we can come back perhaps to these notes to the work group if we need to. But to get on to now the structure of the document in front of us with all of our agreed text. And to that end, we need to recognise that we have actually removed the last 2 sections anyway. What was in those have either been removed to a separate document or have been rolled up into other parts. Now, in the notes section, from memory, Chuck has made a proposal of a flow of sections. Nick, as the person who put the first design together for our documentation, can I ask you, first of all, with a view to what we've already decided today, to comment on how you think Chuck's proposal may or may not work? Over to you, Nick.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think it's very, very clean. I would just keep it. I believe right now we have the overarching principle, the principles that apply to both, principles that are more policy-based and the principles that are more implementation-based. I think those 4 subsections make a lot of sense, and that's personally where I would go. So I would go with, Chuck's kind of suggestion and remove 5 and 6.
Terrific. Can I ask for comments from anyone else who either agrees with Nick or wants to disagree with Nick? Nothing's waving frantically at me, no one's yelling at me, which is a good thing. And more importantly, Marika has made it so in notes, so it now is. Okay, well, would it be a reasonable proposal now, with that layout in mind, for us to go back to the top of the document, Marika, and just do a quick sanity check through in the rest of the call to perhaps for the next 15 minutes or so in the call to see if there's some serious omissions and oversights that we may have made? I've got bumped out of the room again. hearing nothing, I'm assuming that what might be happening while I'm coming back into the room is that we are going back up to the top of the document. Here what I'd like to do is ask you to ignore all the side comments and track changes that you may see, because they have, I believe, all been dealt with. But take a reading through the document now, with a purpose to look if you can find any clear omissions, either in its format or in some section that we may have missed or not done justice to. Having no luck getting back in the Adobe Connect room, so Marika, I'm going to ask you to guide us through the document and let me know if people want to make any comments or have made comments in chat. Thank you.
Yes, it is Marika. Actually, Nick notes that he has to drop off at this time. So,
thank you.
I see you're coming back. So basically, I'm scrolling through the document. So we have A, the overarching principle. Then B, I just updated, as I think we said, the principles that apply to policy and implementation. Then we have the discussed principles. I don't know if it still needs to say discussed principles or whether we can just take out this heading.
Yes. In fact, Marika, I think one of the early comments I made to Nick's design was that some of this text would need to be removed when we did our final run through. So I'm certainly for removing that. Go ahead, Jonathan.
This is just a formatting issue. I believe the version I'm looking at is the correct one. Which is overarching principle, A and B principles. A has a colon after it. B does not have a colon after it. And then later on, C does not have a colon after it. So it should be uniform. And you see the same issue with the Roman numeral 1, discussed principles, additional principles. And then on the third one, yeah, I might be wrong there.
Thanks.
And this is a recap. Presumably, we need to get rid anyway of the Roman number 2, because presumably that is replaced by principles that apply primarily to policy, right?
I would say that's the case, wouldn't you, Jonathan?
Yes.
Terrific. Okay, thanks for that, Jonathan. And I want to give you the pedantry award for today's call, as well as the Attention to Detail Award, because you are obviously the fastest one to read through with all of this. And the fact that you've beaten Alan to any of that, I think, is noteworthy for the record. Thanks for that. Marika, while you're making those changes, after you've done that, we'll scroll back up to where you were, and we can continue with a quick run-through.
It is, Marika. So I think I've now introduced all the headings where they should be. So I'll scroll from the top.
So we now have A, overarching principles, and they've all been well and truly enshrined in our lower world by now. You change to section B. Just put your hands up or jump it right in as Marika scrolls down if you see anything that needs to. I wonder whether we need to have that section under B italicised now. Those GNSO principles and implementation process must be based on. It was there for emphasis, but I don't think we need to be making that emphasis in our document at this stage. Thanks for that, Marika. Okay, continue on. We have our new section there under a dot point. The title.
And this is Rick. I'll need to fix some of the spacing because it's not everywhere the same, but I'll do that after the call.
Yep, new C1D, I think it is. Yep. Two changes there. the title change. There is some change that has been made but was agreed with on our last call under 1A and D. Same for B and a new C. Patients have changed. That then will be the end of the document, with the rest going to a separate mechanism. I don't mind whether it's a tabular form, such as the definitions team did, or whether it's a little short text. But unless anyone can give me good reason otherwise, I think we have our document in an almost good enough form to go to the full list and ask for any final read through and comment. And in the absence of any final read through or comment coming back to the list within 72 hours, it should be okay to go to the committee of a whole, but under Chuck's signature, because he's acted as chair for this subteam. Does anyone agree with that way forward? Does anyone disagree with that way forward? I'm hearing nothing, so silence is in agreement with what I'm suggesting. I want to note that Jonathan, it's all right. Alan is able to...
agreement or sleep.
Alan does manage to relinquish some of his pedantry rights, but you did get an award from me today because they were all very good catches. Well, ladies and gentlemen, other than subject to some minor formatting toilet, which we can leave in the very capable hands of Marika, I would like to suggest that you've all got 20 minutes of your life back and we can conclude our call ahead of time. Marika, correct me if I'm wrong, but there should be no reason for another call for this sub-team to be organised at this stage. Is that correct?
It isn't, Marika. I think that's correct, unless, indeed, some of the members that are not on the call come back with a whole range of comments, then there may be a need to reconvene. But at this stage...
Too late.
I can... Too late. I can push this out, I think, still tonight, my time, and maybe encourage everyone to submit any comments by Wednesday at the latest. And following that, we submit it to the full working group for review, so they have a week to look at it.
Give them 72 hours.
Marika, unless you've moved, it's already tonight, your time.
I know, still my evening. So the 20 minutes I'm getting back now, I'll spend on this.
Yep. She'll have done it within the confines of the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I'm sorry that Chuck isn't with us at this point in time, because this has been a substantive piece of work. I think it's a work each and every one of you, and I'll say us, can be truly proud of, and I believe we've given a very good document, or we're about to give a very good document to the committee of a whole. Yes, we know it will be pulled apart, chewed over, spat out, and altered, but without this foundation, a lot of time would be taken getting these principles agreed and established within the committee of the whole. So on behalf of Chuck, I want to thank you all. I want to go down on virtual bended knee to Marika for the heroic amount of work she does with all of us, with all of this drafting and capture and stuff that she does of our flying thoughts and fancies from time to time. Thank all the staff who've been on the call. Do a yay team to Terry. Well done. And,
thank you, Cheryl.
And thank you for
that we wrap up now, and we do whatever else may be needed, which hopefully will be nothing at all, online via the list. Alan, did I hear your dulcet tones?
You did. I wanted to thank you for stepping into chair. It's been a while since you've chaired a meeting that I've been at, and it was a pleasure. And I just want to issue a comment, a caution to everyone. Not so many compliments for Marika. Otherwise, she's going to get promoted out of this job. Let's tone down
Thank
the compliments
Alan.
Just a little bit.
That's a very valid point and a good one to end on. Thank you, one and all. Terry, you can wind up the call now.
One that sadly I